Today we want to think on the subject, encouragement before the cross. And we're going to look at John 14 through 17. Now Jesus had eaten the Passover feast with his disciples. It was not a joyful occasion, but it was a very solemn, sad time. Jesus had told the disciples that he was going to die. And he told them that they would all forsake him. He told Peter that he would deny him three times, and he told them that one of them would betray him. So it was not a very happy occasion. But to these sad men, Jesus gave some very comforting, encouraging promises that could not only lift their spirits, but encourage us in our lives and comfort us in our times of sorrow. Now, the first promise is that of his return to take us to heaven. In John 14, 1-3, we read, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and since I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Now, Jesus told them that even though he's going to leave, he's going to prepare a place for them, and he would come again and get them so that they could be where he is. Now, right now, Jesus is preparing a place for us. And we don't know when, but he's going to come again at what we call the rapture and take us to that place. And again, we don't know when it will be, but it could be any time. And we need to be encouraged by that wonderful promise. And secondly, there's the promise of answered prayer. In John 14, verses 13 and 14, we read, "And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." Now, regardless of what our need is, or regardless of what kind of circumstances that are going on around us, or regardless of what kind of obstacles we might be facing, Jesus gave us that promise that if we ask anything in his name, he will do it. He hears our prayers and he answers our prayer. And then thirdly, the third promise is the promise of comfort. And in John 14, 16 through 18, we read this, "And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But you know him, for he dwelleth in you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." Now, that's the promise of the Holy Spirit coming. And whenever a person receives Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, the Holy Spirit comes to indwell us. And thus, he's always present with us. And no matter what we might go through, he's present with us to encourage us and to comfort us. And so we have that promise, no matter how hard something might be, or no matter what it is, the Holy Spirit indwells the believer, and he will encourage us and comfort us through a difficult situation. Now, the fourth promise we find in verse 27, chapter 14, 27, and it's the promise of peace. Now, we don't have to live in anxiety and fear, but God promises us peace. And in John 14, 27, we read, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Now, all of us face troubling circumstances and things that could really bother us and fill us with anxiety. But if we lean on the Lord and trust Him, He promises that regardless of what it is that we're facing and going through, He gives us peace. And we can experience wonderful peace in difficult times. I remember when my first wife got cancer back in, I think it was 2006. And the doctors told us afterwards that there was no way that she could have survived it. Anyway, in August 30th, 2007, Cheryl went home to be with the Lord, and the cancer took her. And regardless of whether we face something like with a loved one dying or what it is, God promises that we can have peace in the midst of those kind of situations. And then fifthly, He promises us fruitfulness. We have the promise of fruitfulness. In John 15, verse 5, He said, "I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing." So again, regardless of what we go through, we aren't left hopeless and useless. God tells us that we can experience fruit. And just as the life-giving sap flows into the branches of a tree to produce fruit, so daily communion with the Lord makes us to have fruitful lives. And by that we mean that we can have Christ-like character and we can see results from our ministries and from the way we serve the Lord, and we can see some converts. He promises us fruitful lives. And then sixth, He promises us fullness of joy. Fullness of joy. And in John 15, verse 11, we read, "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you." And now notice, "and that your joy might be full." So regardless of how dark the world seems to be getting, and the world is getting to be a very troubled place, and we live in a very difficult time, and yet we don't have to live sad lives. God promises that we can have not only joy, but fullness of joy, very joyful lives. And if we have communion with the Lord and depend on His word and lean on His word, He promises us great joy. And then seventh, He promises us to convince sinners of their need of salvation. And in John 16, verses 7 through 11, we read, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. And of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and you will see me no more. And of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. Now, the disciples had seen the hardness of the hearts of the people around them. They rejected the Lord Jesus, and they rejected them. They rejected the disciples also. Now again, we live in a very hard, difficult world at this time. And as we serve the Lord and witness to the lost people, the Holy Spirit will do the work in their hearts that is necessary for them to come to Christ. So regardless of how difficult and hard the times are in which we live, and regardless of how many people want nothing to do with the Lord, and they want nothing to do with hearing about salvation, but as we live for the Lord, and as we witness for Him, the Holy Spirit is the one who will convince them that what we're saying is true and that they need to repent and receive Jesus as their Savior. Now, eighth, we have the promise to teach us His Word. And notice in John 16, verses 12 to 14, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, will come, He will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for He shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. Now, as we read this Bible, there are many places in the Bible that's kind of hard to understand. But as we read it and as we study the Scripture, God promised that the Holy Spirit will teach us and open our understanding and reveal the truths of God's Word to us. So even in difficult places in the Bible, God promises that the Holy Spirit will guide us and teach us what He says in those places. And now ninth, we have the promise of His keeping power. In John 17, verse 15, we read, I pray not that you should take them out of the world, but that thou shouldst keep them from the evil, or from the evil one. And of course, there he's referring to Satan. Now, each of us who have received Jesus Christ as our Savior, the devil experienced a defeat. You see, before we knew Christ as our Savior, the devil had full control in our lives. We really belonged to him. But when we received Christ, then he was defeated. But that doesn't mean he stops working. The Bible says that the devil is as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And so the devil, even after we receive Christ, he's going to do everything he can to defeat us and to try to have victory in our lives. And he will tempt us with many, many temptations. But God has made provision for victory over the devil, and we can experience, regardless of what the temptation is, we can experience victory, and we can experience joy and all the other things in our life. And so, regardless of what kind of temptations you go through, he has the promise that he will keep us and give us victory in the face of those trials. Now, the last promise we have is the promise to us concerning future generations. Notice in John 17, verse 20. John 17, verse 20. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Now, when Jesus prayed for the disciples, he promised them that you aren't the only ones I'm praying for. But the Bible tells us that Jesus is in heaven, and it reminds us that he ever liveth to make intercession for us. And so even though Jesus is in heaven preparing a place for us now, he ever liveth to make intercession for us, so that we know that he is working in our lives and we have that promise. You see, what an encouragement to have all these promises. There's the promise that of heaven, that when Jesus comes back at the rapture, he's going to take us to heaven. Or when we die, if we die first, we'll go to heaven. And there's the promise of answered prayer and the promise of comfort when we face difficult situations and times, and the promise of peace so we don't have to be filled with anxiety, and the promise of fruitfulness so that if we live for the Lord, he promises us that our lives will be fruitful. And then there's the promise of joy, and no matter how difficult situations might be, we can be joyful people. And then the promise that he'll help us in service, help us as we serve the Lord. And then he will teach us, the promise of instruction. And then the promise of keeping us, so that no matter what Satan might tempt us with, we can have victory, and God promises to keep us as believers who are experiencing victory over sin in our lives. And then lastly, we have the promise that even though Jesus is in heaven, he is interceding for us. In fact, remember, he said he ever liveth to make intercession for us. And what a wonderful truth that is. So, dear folks, we live in very difficult times, but we have all of these promises from God's word so that we don't have to be filled with grief and sadness and sorrow and all of that. We can live lives of joy and peace and victory, knowing that God has made provision for that, and knowing that Jesus is in heaven praying for us, and the Holy Spirit dwells within our heart to give us that help and strength that we need every day in our lives. What a joy this is to have all of these promises. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time we've had together in your word. And Father, even though we live in very difficult days, we thank you for all the wonderful promises that you have given us in your word. And Lord, I pray that we might lean upon you and that we might trust you and that we might experience the results of these promises that God has promised us. And Father, we ask this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.